Okay. How's everybody this morning? Did they get plenty of sleep? Everybody all ready to go? The last night session was at 9 o'clock, you know, and then it started a little late. You know, that's like an hour and a half past my bedtime. I mean, it's just it was rough. It's hard for me to stay awake. All right, we're gonna have a good time in here. We're gonna learn a little about one another. We're going to learn about some things that I think are going to be really important to us moving forward. So I want to tell you just a little about me, and then there's some other things that you're going to kind of figure out about me as we talk. I am the associate minister at Bella Vista. For about 9 years, I was the youth minister, and we're kind of in a transition period. We hired a youth minister back in June. He's here, Parker Willis. Randall Castleman is still, you know, preaching there. So I really didn't know what to call myself, so I said, how about associate minister? How's that sound? That's kind of a catch-all title. Isn't that right, Mike? You can kind of do just about everything with that. Grew up in the church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to kind of get to know you guys a little bit. I don't need really names. I'm talking about age groups that I'm dealing with right now. So let's say 11th or 12th graders. You got any juniors and seniors? Fantastic. Okay. 9th and 10th. All right. So 8th and below. Got some of those, right? Okay. Good deal. I just want to know, because there's information here, and it's good for all of us. Some may be a little bit more close to time to think about decisions that we're going to have to make. And that's kind of what this class is going to be about. This is going to be about how it is that we go about making decisions and where we move toward in the future. All right? So I want to kind of do this, and this is another way, this kind of little fun thing to kind of get to know you a little bit, is I want you with the people who are around you, right? Just the three or four people there, two or three, however many you gather up. I want you to ask this question within this group, and then I want you just to talk about the answer for a second, and then I'm going to ask them for a response. You ready? Here's the question. As early as you can remember in your childhood, right? As young as you were, as far back as you can go, what did you want to be when you grew up? Ready? Go. All right, we got them. All right, so give me some interesting ones. So some things that you got. I'm here to embarrass her. Not that I wouldn't like to, but no, I won't do that. All right. So tell me, what do you got? Don't make me ask. Come on, Jess, just pick one.
An adult.
Huh?
When I grow up, I wanted to be an adult.
You wanted to be an adult.
But I scoot on growing up.
That's the goal I'm shooting for.
Paleontologist.
All right, that's good. What else? Come on, some other ones.
Fireman,
there we go.
Military.
Huh?
Military.
Yeah, there you go. Come on.
Can we say for the other person?
I don't care. Okay. As long as they don't care. Right?
She wanted to be an actor.
Okay.
And a singer.
All right, good deal. Others? The middle of the room here. Come on.
She wanted to be a dentist.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, now, that's early on. You guys are getting a little bit older. Some of you are in senior high, looking towards graduation. Now what do you want to be? Same group. Talk about it again. Go.
I'm not sure.
Come on in. Come on in. Yeah. That's the way it works in the Church of Christ, right? You get here late, you got to sit on the front. Okay. All right, what do we got? I just want to let you know what we're doing. What we started with was a question that they just kind of discussed among themselves in little groups of as early as you could remember, what did you want to be when you grew up? Okay? And then the next one was, now that you're a little older, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay? So what do we got? What we got for now?
Veterinarian.
Somebody wants to be a veterinarian. What else?
Zoologist.
What else? Major League Baseball player. I like it. What else?
A nurse.
Good deal. Any more? I don't want to call anybody out, but, you know, is there any more? All right. So here you go. When I was little, it was a cowboy, just in case you were wondering. I had no idea what all that entailed, but they had guns and they rode horses. I thought that's got to be the career for me. All right? So let's have a good time with it. And a little later on, things change. So I think about this, and we think about what is it that you want to do. And some of you are getting close to stepping out of high school, and this is becoming a little more of a reality of what is it that I'm going to do. So I wanted to think about, I kind of was thinking about reasons why we choose the things we choose. Right? And I came up with about four, and you guys may have others in this, but I thought of about four reasons why typically we go, this is what I want to do. And the first one is, it sounds like something I would enjoy. Right? It sounds like there's something about this that I would like. I don't think that there's anybody, I really don't, that when they start out and think about what it is they want to do for the rest of their life, they go, let me find something that I hate and go do it. Right? Everybody kind of goes, this is something I would like to do. Another reason is, and this one there is usually a big one, is how much money am I going to make? Right? Am I going to be able, with what I want to do, am I going to be able to take care of myself, take care of my family, those kinds of things? Is there money in this? Right? And sometimes that kind of gets pushed to the top, but that's true. It's in there. Other one is, is what I want to do, is it actually something that I can do, right? Is there a market for this, almost? Is there something that I can find work if I want to do this? Can I actually find work to do? And the fourth one is, and I think this is evident throughout all of them, that any time I've asked this question, is can I make a difference? Is this something that's going to make a difference? Sometimes it's, is it going to make a difference for me? Who's going to know me if I do this? Right? That make sense? Y'all with me? Okay, good. Nod your head. Yeah, shake them. Yes, no, maybe. That's fine. Right? But that's kind of the reasons. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. Right? Something that we're good at. Everybody in this room has a gift, a talent that's different. Right? We don't all have the same one. And to understand that that's a gift that we've got, that's a talent that we've been blessed with, to use that, and that's a great thing. Right? To go, this is something I'm good at. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, can I earn a living doing this? Right? Am I going to be able to take care of the things I need to take care of? Am I going to be able to take care of myself? Am I going to be able to take care of a family? Am I going to be able to help others who are in need? Am I going to be able to have enough? Now, that's where we usually get into trouble, right? And I say we by saying I, right? I'm going, what's enough? Right? Usually we'll say, here's what I want. And then when I get that, I'm going, well, I could have some more. Right? So sometimes we have to watch that. But there's nothing wrong with saying, can I earn a living doing this? The other one is, I want to be able to work, Right? I want to be able to do what it is that I like to do. There's nothing wrong with seeing if this is a marketable skill. There's nothing wrong with wanting to make a difference. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. But there's something out of these four reasons, there's something when it comes to this decision making that we're missing. Does anybody know what it is? Okay, open your Bibles to James 4. Okay, somebody got James 4, and somebody read for me chapter 4, verses 13 through 17.
Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin.
Okay. So what's missing from those from our decision making? Far too often. Do what? God. What's God want in this? I like the whole theme of this weekend and the idea of faith that works. You know, there's been this debate for years. You know, are we saved by faith? Are we saved by works? And James says yes. Right? The faith that we have moves us to do some things. I love the entire book of James. It's been thought of as just a real guide to practical Christianity. I think that's really good. Another thing, just as you're thinking about and reading through James, is to think about and read through James and read through the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. Because I think that you'll find that James offers a pretty good commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, when I hear this passage that we just read, there's things from the Sermon on the Mount that begin to echo, right? Of Jesus saying, why do you worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink? Why do you worry about your body, what you'll wear? Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, you'll say. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you much more valuable? Why do you worry about your body, what it is you're going to wear? Take a look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin, but I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed like one of these. And if this is how God takes care of the grass that's here today and tomorrow's thrown in the oven, won't he much more take care of you, oh, you of little faith? You know, I hear these words as I think about what James is saying here. So our question of what is missing is, where is God in the decisions that we're going to make? Where's God in my decision of the career path that I'm going to choose? Where's God in the choice of school that I'm going to do? Where's God in my choice of spouse? In all of these things, we need to keep God in the center of it. I kind of want to look, if we can, just kind of dive into the text just a little bit. James says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I told a group last night, and I'll tell you guys the same thing. When I was in my growing up years, and even today, I still hear this passage talked about, and rightly so, okay? Not disrespecting anybody in this. Rightly so, of going, this is one of those places where I think that Scripture makes it clear that we're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed time. Right? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I think that's true. I mean, I think that all we have to do is take a look around us, and it may be in our own circles. It may just be in taking care of and taking a look at the news. I'm going, we're not guaranteed a certain amount of time. And I think that's true. I also think that there's something else here that I want us to take a look at when he says, you know, what is your life? It's like this mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Yesterday morning, I was headed to the office, and they're at the building, and you drive by Lake Bella Vista. And it was a real nice, cold morning, and you look out there, and there's this mist that just hangs over the lake. And then I had an errand to run just a little bit later, and I drove back by there, and it's gone. And you go, what happened to it? And I was thinking about that in relation to what James has to say here, and it's not just that. That tomorrow is not promised to us, but time has a way of getting away from us before we even know it. You'll find this hard to believe. I'm over 50 years old. I can't believe it. You know, there's part of me when I get up in the morning go, oh yeah, I can believe it. But then there's other parts of me go, wait, hold on a minute. I'm not this old. And it gets by like that. This was really, it was kind of illustrated to me a couple of years ago of just the way that we think about other people that we know. And then we go, wait a minute, hold on. Time gets away in a hurry. My dad, I grew up on the farm where they live now, and he had gone to see one of their neighbors about something, and it was in the winter, it had snowed, and there was some ice and that kind of thing, and he was telling me, he goes, I went over to see him. He goes, I came around the corner, and man, he goes, down I went. And my feet went out from under me, and you know, just fell right on that ice. Now, this is going to say a lot more about me than you probably want to know, but for the first little bit there, I was going, you know, I could just see Dad falling, you know, and it was kind of that's kind of funny. But then he said, I was just glad I didn't break something. And I went, hold on a minute. Dad's at that age where a fall could really hurt him. And I didn't even think about that because it's the way time gets away. Right? It gets away before we know it. And the things that we do now, the habits that we engage in, the things that we do, the way that we live, if we stop some of those things, we stop focusing on our faith, time gets away pretty quick. It becomes easy to not focus on it anymore. And I think that's one of the things that James is telling us here, is going, wait a minute, hold on. What's your life? Right? Relatively short. And time has a way of getting away from you in a hurry. Some decisions that we're going to make, because time continues to move on, some decisions we're going to make can't easily be undone, if they can be undone at all. Okay? I know that's kind of a downer, but that's the truth. Right? Things that we do have a way of following us along. And time keeps moving. What is your life? It's a gift from God. I hope we see it that way. And if it's a gift from God, it's a gift that He's given us to be used for Him. To be used for His purposes. I don't know what you think about that, but I want us to think for a little bit about God's purposes. What does God want? What's God want from your life? What's He want from mine? Sometimes that's kind of a hard thing to figure out, right? You hear people say, you need to figure out what is the will of God and join in. And I can tell you that a long time, it was kind of frustrating to go, what does that mean? Does that mean that God's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, this is where I want you to go? Does that mean that there's something specific? And I think the answer to that is yes, there is something specific, but I also think there's something a little more general that we need to think about when it comes to this. What does God want from my life, and what does He want for yours? What's God's big purpose? Think about that for just a second. What's God's big purpose for humanity? We're going to kind of walk through a couple of different places in Scripture. All right? The first one's in Genesis. In Genesis 1. I think it's 26 and 27 where it says, "Let us make man in our image." And God creates Adam and Eve to be His image bearers. They're the image of God. That's how they're created. You move on, and this thing continues on, and we're just kind of hitting high points. You can see this all the way through. We got a young adult class that have been looking at the book of Exodus here for the last few months. And it just strikes me over and over that the more that you read about the Exodus, that you find God saying, "I want everybody to know who I am." In the plagues, I think it's in Exodus chapter 12, God says, "So that the Egyptians will know that I am God. So that Israel will know that I am God. So the nations around them will know who He is." When they get to Mount Sinai, Israel gets to Mount Sinai, God says that you are going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, God's possession. They're not all going to be priests in the official sense, right? But they all are going to be a kingdom of priests in that they kind of facilitate communication between the nations around them and the God of Israel. They're going to be the ones who serve as the people who introduce God to the nations around them. This seems to be what God's purpose is, and it doesn't end there. We move on. We move on and we listen to things like from what Jesus has to tell us. I think it's in John chapter 13 where Jesus says, "This is the new commandment that I give you, is that you love one another. You love one another the way that I've loved you, and by this will all people know that you belong to me." Move on a little further in that same Gospel of John, where Jesus prays in John chapter 17, and He says, "God, I pray that they may all be one, that they may all be one in you, or in me, just as I am in you, that they may be all be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." It's still what God wants from His people is for Him to be identified to others, for Him to be glorified in what we do. It moves on. This keeps going through Scripture. Right? Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says that it is the role of the church to declare the wisdom of God to the powers that be. That's in Ephesians 3. And then you go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 2 where he says, "You are a chosen people, a holy nation, right? A royal priesthood." The same thing that God said at Sinai. What God wants from His people is that He is recognized and that He is known by what we do. That make sense? You with me? Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Just making sure. So this is why we ought to consult God. He's got a purpose. And what He wants for us is to join in that purpose. Whether that be whatever career we decide to choose, but that He is exalted in it. All right? Does that make sense? All right? I'm not looking at a group of people that I go, "Okay, every one of you is going to be in full-time ministry." You are, but not in the way that you may think. You are in full-time ministry, as in we look out and serve one another. Right? You are in full-time ministry, as in we introduce God, we introduce Christ to other people. But our vocation may be different. But we need to make sure that we're consulting God in these decisions. Right? That we ask for what He wants to do. Our faith needs to make a difference in what we choose to do, which is kind of the theme of this entire weekend, that faith works. It doesn't just work in the things that we do, and like Steve was talking about this morning, in the way that we talk. It works in the choices that we make. It works in where it leads us. What God wants is to make a difference in how we live and in what we choose. And we see this. We see this. I don't want to run out of time. We see this in different places in Scripture where it's gone well, and we see this in places where it doesn't go well. When people forget to ask God. I'm going to tell the story more than I'm going to read this. If y'all want to write this down, you can go look at it. It's fascinating. It's in Exodus again. Exodus 32 and 33. And this is one of those examples where we get to see the importance of God's presence with His people. In Exodus 32, it's when the Israelites build the golden calf. Right? So, before this, God's led them to Sinai. He's brought them out of Egypt. He's led them through the Red Sea. He's fed them. He's given them water. He's taken care of them. They have seen Him. They have seen His presence at the mountain. To the point that they said, "We don't even want to. Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want to." Right? They've seen how awesome God is at the mountain. Moses goes up to receive the law, and while he's there, they decide they need a God that they can see. So they go to Aaron and they say, "Build us a God." And Aaron says, "Okay, then give me your jewelry." Right? And they gave him all of their gold. He puts it in there. He makes this calf. And they even declare, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. And God is justifiably upset. Right? I hope we can see that. That God who has made promises as far back as Abraham, has been faithful to those promises, has brought them out of Egypt, has taken care of them, brought them all the way to Sinai, and he has revealed himself to them. And here they are going, okay, we need something else. So God sends Moses back down, and then and it stops, and then Moses comes back and visits with God again. And and God, like I say, is upset. And God says, to begin with, all right, I'm killing them all. Now, I'm going to destroy this nation, and I'm going to start over. Moses, I'm going to make a new nation, and it's going to begin with you. And Moses, amazingly, right, says, don't do that. Don't do that, God. Don't kill him. And he pleads for Israel, and God relents. And in chapter 33, God says, okay, now you're going to go ahead and go. You're going to leave Sinai, and you're going to go to Canaan. That's where I've promised that you're going to end up, so that's where you're going to go. And he tells Moses, you're going to go, and you're going to take possession of the land that I swore to Abraham that you had. I'm going to send an angel before you to drive out the nations. You will inhabit the land, but I won't go. God says, my presence will not go with you. Now, they've seen God's presence in the cloud and the fire that's led them so far. They've seen God's presence at Sinai. And he says, I'm not going. My presence will not go with you. And Moses says, if you don't go, then don't send us. God, if you're not going to go with us, then don't send us. Now, I heard a guy speak about this several years back, and as he talked about this, one of the things he said really kind of hit me right between the eyes. And that is, how many times in the decisions that I've made have I said, this is where I'm going to go. I hope you catch up with me, God. Instead of going, your presence, you with me is more important than anywhere I can go. But too many times, and I've done it, okay? I've done it. And what I'm trying to do is to talk to you guys to think about these things. We go, let's don't treat God that way. Let's don't go, this is what I'm going to do, God, and then I want you to come along and bless it later. We want God in the middle of this decision. Right? We don't want to forget what His purpose is, the way He's gifted us, the way He's blessed us, for His purpose. Okay? For His purpose. Great. All right. So, I want to get this from kind of out of the idea area here. Let's talk about something. Let's talk about being practical. About the way that the choices that we make and some things that we can do. All right? You with me? All right. You guys still with me? Good deal. I haven't had to wake anybody up. Fantastic. That's the rule. One of us ought to be awake though when I'm speaking. So, all right, here we go. When we're choosing a career path, whatever that be, one of the things that we do need to examine is, how's God gifted me? Right? What's God done? There are people who are really good at various things, and I believe that to be a blessing. I'm going, how is it that God has blessed me? Let's use that. Right? Let's use that to his glory. Things to consider. Is this next step, is this career, is this decision, what's going to be entailed? Right? What's it going to take? If it's a career path like most of us, how many are planning to go to college? Can I see it? Just see your hands. Right? Fine. That's great. That's great. Where's that going to be? Have we given any thought to where that's going to take us and how important that is? Right? I'm a big proponent of, I think Christian colleges are wonderful. I also don't think that's the only place you can get an education. Right? But I really appreciated what Steve had to say this morning when he talked about Razorbacks for Christ. I'm going, if a Christian college is not where you go, fine. Is there going to be a community of faith there to help you? Not where, like he said, not where just where you can maintain your faith, but where you can grow in it. Is this going to be a place where there's going to be a community of faith, where there's going to be a church there that I can plug into, be part of that community? One of the things that I think this because I've seen it happen, is that if the location of this school is going to be away from people we know, right? There's kind of a danger there. If I'm away from the people that I know, sometimes my instincts aren't very good, right? If I'm away from the people that I know, maybe that there are some things that I've thought, you know what, I can do this and nobody find out about it. It's important that we have people in our lives that can hold us accountable, right? That know what we're trying to do, that are on common ground with us. We're trying to grow closer to the image of Jesus. And those actions, are those going to fit in? Pay attention to where it's going to take. Are you going to be a community of faith? It's really difficult, if not, I'll just leave it really difficult, to live out our faith by ourselves. Would you agree with that, Mike? I think that's why, one of the reasons God calls us into community with one another. There's a great verse in Hebrews chapter 10 that I think it's verse 25, it says, you know, do not give up meeting together as the habit of some has become, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And a lot of times we think of that as going, okay, there's a spot in the Bible where it says, make sure that you're at worship service. True, it does. But it like most of it, there's a reason behind it. If you go back just a little bit further into Hebrews 10, you'll find out it's because we need to figure out how it is that we can encourage one another on to good works. Because the Christian life is incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to live out on your own. So is that community going to be there? How much time is going to be devoted to what I'm going to do? Right? Is this going to take away? Is it going to cause me problems in the disciplines that I need to have, like study and prayer and meeting with God's people? Is it going to consume my time to the point that that gets away from me? Because like we said earlier, time has a way of getting away. And whenever we get out of that habit, out of that discipline, it's easy to start forgetting it. How much is going to be devoted to it? We got to keep God in the center, keeping things important. Will I be brought closer? Will I be brought closer to God or move further away from Him? It's one of those things where we want to draw closer to Him. Other things as we think about these things to watch, something else to do is to listen. Boy, Steve hit this good this morning, right? Of the idea of listening. Listen to other people. Listen to people who are mature in their faith. Talk to them. Ask them. You may encounter people who have done this right. Right? Who have said, I've kept God in the middle of every decision I've made. I've done this, and they can tell you the benefits of it. You may meet people who go, boy, I messed it up, and I wish I'd done it different. Listen to them. Listen to people who are working and continually maturing in their faith. This may be your parents. This may be your youth minister. This may be the minister at your church. This may be an elder. This may be somebody else within your faith community that you've got a relationship with to go, hey, I'd like to talk with you about this. Listen to them. Listen to people who have been there. Fantastic. We're working good on time. The last one is this. It's not really the last one because there'll be one more thing, but is to be devoted. And it means spending a lot of time in prayer. Well, that's one of the things I think is huge. That we're continually talking with God about this. That we're continually sitting with Him. Because prayer does a lot of things. But one of the things that prayer does is get us in the position of understanding that we're not the ones in charge. It's a prayer where we sit and we ask God. Not that we tell God, okay, God, here's where we're going now. But of going, what do you want from me? In the understanding that it's not us. We want to make an impact for others. We talked about that as part of the reasons why we choose to do what we do. And one of the greatest impacts we can make is introducing people to who God is. We do that by keeping Him in the middle of all of these decisions, keeping Him at the center. This idea of constantly, because for some of you the decisions are coming quick. For some of you, they're coming a little bit further down the road, but it's never too early to start this. To go, what do you want, God? Listen to Him. Listen to Him through what He has to say in Scripture. Spend time with Him. Understanding what He wants. Understanding His big purpose and the idea of, God, how is it that I can join in? That's what we want to be at the end of the day. This little section at the end of James is, or end of James 4, is kind of is almost like the antidote to what he's talked about earlier. And what he's talked about earlier is this idea of being self-centered. And he said, self-centeredness just doesn't work. Starts off with chapter 4, verse 1. Why are there these quarrels among you? It boils down to self-centeredness. We got to get out of that mindset. And to understand that we're part of something much, much bigger. It's not just about us. But the decisions that we're making are going to have an effect on people moving forward. our own spiritual growth, those who are close to and around us, and the way that we can influence others for God. The title of this whole thing was a working title that I sent to Luke early on, and that's who gets the lead. And that's the decision, right? That's the decision. Who gets the lead? Is it me? Or am I going to let God lead? I know what He wants. Am I going to join in that purpose, or am I going to be the one that goes, no, I'm the one that's in control. Right? Thanks, guys. That's it. That was the bell. Thank you. Appreciate you.